Well, good evening. I'm Dr. Len Horowitz.
And I'm Sherry Kane.
And we've got a special show tonight with Janet Phelan, who's an investigative journalist involved in looking at biological warfare, weaponry, and water, and dealing with some real criminals at the CDC. So stand by for a wonderful show tonight. And we want to thank our sponsors right up front. Besides BBSRadio.com, thanks to HealthyWorldStore.com, thanks to HealthyWorldAffiliates.com, and if you haven't been to 528records.com yet and looked at all the wonderful things that are happening, including a 528 24/7 radio, that is 528 radio transpositions playing online right now, well, we're developing it. It's got some kinks in it still, but it's coming along, and we're really thankful to our new DJ, Donna, who has been heavily involved in advancing the music on 528 Radio. So thank you, Donna. She's volunteering, and we greatly appreciate all the support that all of you have been giving us through our sponsors.
Yeah, thank you so much. And if you haven't signed up as an affiliate, sign up right away. It's a great opportunity for you to partner with us and also take advantage of some great discounts on wonderful products that'll keep you healthy without having you take pharmaceuticals that will make you sick.
You mean you don't like pharmaceuticals? You mean you don't like tripping out on toxicity and having your organs fail prematurely, huh?
No, and now they have a drug for everything. They have a drug for your leg that's moving too much, and your lip that's moving too much, and your brain that's
and your stool that's moving too much when you take that garbage that they want to give you to lose weight and whatever else. Anyway, why don't you introduce our wonderful guest tonight? I know she's been really working very diligently, and she's not gotten a lot of thanks. I believe she's one of the unsung American heroes that is ideally going to have more of an international impact with this concern of biological weaponry. And why don't you introduce Janet for us, Sherry?
Well, Janet is an amazing woman. Janet Phelan, she's an investigative journalist whose articles have appeared in the L.A. Times, the San Bernardino County Sentinel, the Santa Monica Daily Press, the Long Beach Press Telegram, We Magazine, the American Bulletin, Sovereign Mind Magazine, and other regional and national publications. She previously hosted radio shows on Republic Broadcasting Network, Liberty News Radio, and on KSKQ in Ashland, Oregon, and has guested on over 100 radio and television shows. Her poetry has been published in Gambit, Libera, Apple Zeba Review, Nausea One, and other magazines. Her first book, The Hitler Poems, was published in 2005. She currently resides abroad, and you can browse through her articles and poetry at janetphelan.com. That's JanetPhelan.com. Welcome to the program, Janet.
Thank you so very much. I'm just so pleased to be on your show today.
We're happy
to
have
you. So tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe, that Sherry didn't mention. You know, tell us about your loving heart and the desire that you have to make a difference. What compels you? What motivates you to do this very, very challenging work of exposing some hideous criminality on the planet today without not only thanks, but with having to take a lot of flack for what you do?
Well, I'll tell you guys, when I first started on this path, you can tell from my resume that I used to write for mainstream media, and it became increasingly apparent to me. I think I woke up a little late, probably around September 11th of 2001. I was really waking up. It became apparent to me that the mainstream media wasn't doing its job and certainly wasn't reporting the truth. So I kind of jumped track. And what was most surprising to me is when I first started writing about what was really going on and researching, and you know, I was thinking, boy, I'm going to get a lot of support for this, and I'm going to wake people up, and people are going to be so happy. And well, you know, to a degree, that's true. I get a lot of encouragement. I have met some wonderful people since my life jumped track, but I was not prepared for the kind of blowback that I ended up experiencing. I remember going to my inbox one morning and opening it up and having all these expletive deleted and accusations, and you know, and it was simply amazing. When it first started, when the accusations and the attacks first started, it started like a deluge. And, you know, it just keeps going like that. So I understand that when one starts treading on certain toes, that certain people will kick back. And that I've gotten my sea legs a bit in terms of attacks and harassment. And I don't let it throw me as much as it did when it first started. When it first started, I wanted to respond to every email. Well, that isn't true. Let me tell you what, you know. And then the people would just get more snarly and more, you know, more false accusations. And I finally just thought, you know, this is a big diversion. I got a lot of work to do. And so people want to start throwing, you know, rotten tomatoes and let them throw. And I'm just going to keep on going. So when I first started writing about bioweapons, I started off writing about water and what some very strange things that are going on in the water system.
Yeah, how did you get started in the concept, the subject of water and then bioweapons?
Well, I have to say I was tipped off that something really bad was going on with water. And so I started looking at water systems, trying to, you know, figure out if there was some way to verify, and that's really when the blowback started. I was writing a weekly column at that time for the Santa Monica Daily Press. It was in 2004, and I walked over to City Hall in Santa Monica and made a Public Records Act request to see records on water systems. And within a few hours, I picked up a phone message from my editor. And she went ballistic on me. You know, I have not authorized you to ask questions about water. And she said, and I quote, and I remember this till the day I die, "You are endangering my position as editor of Santa Monica Daily Press by asking these questions." So I tried to resolve this with her. It was unresolvable. So I quit. I was not going to be censored. I began to realize how serious this all was. And there, you know, when it comes down to covering up issues that may affect human life, you know, I mean, that's a line I'm not going to cross. You know, I'm not going to avert my gaze because it's dangerous. So it's a long story. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that sounds familiar. That's the way we are. Let me just interject here. For those of you who may not have joined us in the past several shows, and I want to thank publicly the folks who covered for us last week, Barbara Hartwell and Jenny Hatch from Denver. We want to thank those folks for doing a wonderful program. And we're actually the five of us and others that we've identified that probably will bless this program in the coming weeks have all been similarly targeted to what Janet is describing here. There is a concerted, what's called COINTELPRO, and you can tell that Janet is a professional, that is, in discerning the truth about these folks, and particularly when she says to you that it is a waste of time to literally engage yourself with these people, because ultimately all it breeds is frustration and confusion, and that's their game. And so it's a wise person who gets to the level of the discernment through the school of hard knocks that we have gone through to deliver the truth that shall set humanity free, the truth which is really the light which dispels the darkness, which dispels confusion. Because, again, when we're caught up in deceptions and this darkness of evil, we can't really see to protect ourselves and each other as loving human beings. And so this is what is called COINTELPRO, and what Janet is describing, an avalanche of antagonism and hideous emails and internet slurs. We have, Sherry has, I have, Barbara Hartwell has, Jenny Hatch has,
Jane
Burgermeister has, all of us that have experienced this.
We're whistleblowers, activists.
And that it is we read a very good article recently on gang stalking, and this is a kind of like an e-commerce, because they're involved in commercial enterprise on the internet. They're involved in blog administrations. They're involved in website designs and developments.
Radio personalities
and broadcasting. Yes. And there's a group of probably about, at least maybe 6 to 8 to 12 people who are actually engaged in infiltrating grassroots organizations and attacking whistleblowers. And they do so with about 6 aliases each. And that then it seems like the gang is built up to about, if you have 12 and each one of those has 6 aliases, you're looking at over 50 emails. And it looks like you're, just getting whacked by a whole gang of internet stalkers. And so for those of you who are not familiar with that, that is what we have been going through, and that is simply kind of like what Bo Greit said to me many years ago. You know, when you're over the target, that's when you get the flack. And so this is the flack that we get. These are the people that administer it, and essentially it's not going to deter us. Exactly as Janet said, we're focusing on what is true and telling the truth to set humanity free. Go ahead, Janet.
Okay, you just made some amazing statements there, Lynn, because, all of us are under some level of attack here. Okay, you, Sherry, me, Barbara, Jenny, and I'm sure I could list a whole host of others as well. And, to come out through this with as positive a statement as you just made, that the work is really trying to advance human welfare is a very strong and beautiful statement. And you just said it so beautifully. I want to go back to bioweapons. When I first, began to realize that there was a possibility that something was going on, I initially approached this looking at the water systems and started making Public Records Act requests after I left the Santa Monica Daily Press. I continued on, just working on the story more or less as an independent. I was able to get blueprints of water systems, which validated and verified my perceptions of how the water systems would have to be reconfigured in order to serve as a delivery system for some sort of at this point unknown and unnamed toxin. And I can go into it very, very briefly, because since that time that I wrote that the first article, Water is a Weapon, I've done a lot of more research on legal aspects also, which are buttressing and protecting bioweapons, which are actually illegal. According to the Biological Weapons Convention, which the United States of America signed, I believe, in 1972, we are not developing or stockpiling these weapons. Well, it appears that we are. And it also appears that there are other violations of this treaty, which I'll get into by the United States, which I'll get into shortly. So initially, when I was looking at water, and like I said, I'd been tipped off about water, I started thinking, well, how would they be able to use water without, dumping something into a reservoir and killing everybody? And obviously, these people do not want to kill themselves. If they are going to be using all water as a weapon system, to harm, modify behavior, or kill, they would not be dumping something in a reservoir because they don't want to affect themselves. So they would have to basically set up a system which could individually target the households that they would want to target. And, to me, this was mind-boggling. I mean, how could they ever even do this? So I started making Public Records Act requests. My requests are being refused. They won't give me any information on water. They won't show me any blueprints. And it was very frustrating. So I started hanging around crews. I'd find a water crew that was working on water lines that I'd hang around and I'd, you know, joke with the guys and, hey, can I see your blueprints? And the guys working on the streets have no idea something funny's going on. Oh, yeah, here are the blueprints. And I pull out my little camera and, yeah.
Let me just interject also. I want to confirm what you just said about how when you request information through, for example, Freedom of Information Act, what you get in response typically when you're dealing with the critical weapons and the weapons of mass destruction issues, as I dealt with emerging viruses and the Ebola virus and then finding Litton Bionetics involved in the origin of AIDS and these types of bioweapons, when I tried to do, or others, researchers that I've consulted with and worked with had likewise sought information through Freedom of Information, what we typically get back is unavailable for national security reasons. And that was typical of what we would get with the National Cancer Institute.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead. I just wanted to interject that my experience is the same as what you said, too.
Well, I actually got back letters from the city of Santa Monica saying, we don't have any records on water systems. Can you believe that?
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, you know, they're the repository for the blueprints. I mean, you know, so I kept pushing forward. And then, I'm sorry, am I interrupting you, Sherry? Were you going to say something?
No. I mean, it's just, it's really typical. But, you know, sometimes people that work on the ground level of some of these organizations, a lot of times they're clueless. I mean, it's just, they have no idea really what's going on, like the people on the street who have no idea what's underneath the ground or what's going on with the water or any idea that anything could be going on with the water. And so, you know, you look at that article that you sent, you know, and it talks about Fort Detrick. You know, Glenn has been researching that for such a long time. And, you know, that's a ground zero place. But maybe the people that work on the ground levels don't have any idea that they're making the worst viruses in the world in their laboratories there. So,
I think there's quite a bit of compartmentalization that goes on. So somebody may know, you know, that they're working to get a cure for Ebola or something, or they may not realize what the implications are. They may not realize what the guy in the next lab over is doing. So they compartmentalize to keep, you know, I think it's a security concern is what I understand.
Exactly.
That's so true. You're given information on a need-to-know basis only, and that's how, like compartmentalization, is how they keep the information systems operating not on behalf of we the people, but virtually the devil doers.
Yeah. And as I was saying, you know, when I approached the guys working on the street, they had no problem in showing me blueprints. It's like, you know, they don't think they're doing anything wrong. They're proud of their work. You know, they're working hard on making sure that, you know, the city of Los Angeles can get water. But when you start moving up the bureaucracy, then you run into, you know, when you make Public Records Act requests, you generally run into the city attorney's office. And that's where I was getting those letters from saying, we don't have any records on water systems. And so I started pushing harder. And then I approached the city of Los Angeles, and, you know, I start getting letters back, well, for national security reasons, we're going to give you redacted documents, and it's going to take us a while to make them for you, so just wait a couple of weeks, you know, a few weeks. So what they did at the city of Los Angeles is they redacted, which means they removed some information, and because you can't do that on a blueprint without, you know, having a big black space, what they did was to create entirely new blueprints for me. Now, every single blueprint that I was given from the city of Los Angeles was stamped redacted, which means, you know, it was information was that should have been there was not there. So that's not very helpful. So what I did is I'd been hanging around the street, talking to street crews, and taking pictures of their blueprints, and then I went to the city of Los Angeles and specifically requested a section of the street where I'd already gotten the real blueprints. And yes, the real blueprints showed two water lines, which were cross-connected. And the blueprints coming from the city of Los Angeles did not show two water lines. They showed one. Now, the significance of two water lines, parallel water lines, we're not talking about the service lines that run, you know, into your house. The purpose of two is that if there is going to be an attempt to selectively provide a toxin into a house, you know, or a street, or, you know, a series of houses, if it's going to be done on an individual basis,
even a population, because think about it today, most people who are health conscious are buying or producing their own waters, not from municipal supplies. And so the concept, if we were to consider a dramatic population reduction attempt, as what you're saying, which I believe is very logical and based on all, not just what you've been saying and your great research, many others, that the municipal water systems, just look what they're doing with chlorine and fluoride, it's essentially intoxicating mechanisms. And if they're intending a depopulation program for, let's say, at least half of the world's population, then what you're saying potentially for those poor people who don't have the money to buy water machines and or the bottled water, which is extremely expensive now. It's basically the same as a gallon of gas almost in many places, and actually in hotels it's ridiculous. So now you've got the potential for targeting the lower socioeconomic or ethnic groups.
Demographically, they target people, for sure.
They can target whomever they wish. And with this particular system, and I'm urging, you can go to salem-news.com, and there's an article, Homeward Bound, that has a couple of very clear blueprints, actually, from Spokane, where you can see the double-line water system and the fact that they're cross-connected. With this particular system, the way it's set up, they can target anybody they want to, any household that they want to. And as Sherry, I believe, just said, demographically, if this is a demographic push, usually you don't have, usually you have families living in households together. So that way you can target the entire family. Now, the system is set up exactly as it would need to be to accomplish what I'm alleging they're attempting to accomplish. So after I did the research on the system itself, I started looking at some of the laws that govern water, govern bioweapons. I just one of the first things I looked at was I looked at the U.S. Patriot Act, and I found something very disturbing there. I was just sort of flipping through it before a show that I'd done, one of the first shows I'd done on KPFK about water, and I came across this Section 817 of the U.S. Patriot Act. Section 817 is the expansion of the biological weapons statute. And I thought, you know, what's this all about? Well, there are a number of really problematic clauses, words, verbiage in Section 817, but the real clincher here is at the very end, and this is Section C, and it's one sentence. I'm going to read it. Whoever knowingly violates this section shall be fined, as provided in this title, imprisoned not more than 10 years or both, but the prohibition contained in this section shall not apply with respect to any duly authorized United States governmental activity. So all of the provisions, all the prohibitions in 817, if the U.S. government decides to do it, there's no prohibition. There's a blank check. So this is actually, you know, a little bit disturbing. And as I mentioned, there's some other verbiage which I in Section 817, which I've gone into in depth in the first article that I wrote on this, called "Water is a Weapon." So
it sounds like Nazi Germany all over again.
Right, it's a whole genocidal license.
It's a genocide. Well, it's a genocidal license because we're talking about bioweapons. What do bioweapons do? Do they help you grow hair? Do they make you stronger? Do they extend your lifespan? Probably not. So, okay. So I'm looking at this caveat, and I then came across the fact that the United States of America had actually signed on to an international bioweapons treaty, which explicitly makes it internationally illegal for a signer onto the treaty to stockpile or develop these weapons. So I'm looking at this little section I just read, which says, well, the United States of America can do it, you know, and then I look at the treaty, which says you can't do it. So I started asking some questions at the State Department and also at the United States Department of Justice. Now, that's where it started to get really interesting, because the press officer that I spoke with and actually had email contact with at the United States Department of Justice, his name is Dean Boyd, he tried to tell me I was full of hot air. And he said, look, that's not what the law says. Here's what the law says. And he sent me the law that the expansion of the biological weapons statute amended. He sent me the prior law. And at that point, I said, well, that's great, but you quoted the wrong law, Mr. Boyd, at which point he wrote me and said, I don't want any more contact with you.
Oh, such a shame.
Boy, so, yes.
For justice, right. For coming from the Justice
Department. Right. Coming from the Justice Department. So I moved it forward. I pushed a little further, and I contacted the Inspector General of the United States Department of Justice, and I filed a complaint about Mr. Boyd. And I got a letter back, took about a month, from the Inspector General, which says, we're not going to investigate this.
It's kind of like the response that we're getting recently with dealing with the Salt Lake City FBI, the Phoenix FBI, and San Francisco FBI, of which I've complained to and asked them to get back to me concerning what, if anything, they plan to do with the COINTELPRO operatives that are linked to the Lautner murders, the Tucson massacre, which is a U.S. national terrorism threat. And that, you know, this is kind of like where they're at. These guys are totally engaged in covering up, not investigating adequately or exposing for the benefit of the public issues.
You experienced something similar when you wrote that article before about exposing the anthrax attacks.
Oh, yeah. You know, Janet, you're lucky that they don't make you a suspect in biological warfare. That's what they did to me. You know, when I was the first scientist in the United States to actually go to the FBI with the anthrax mailings incident. I went there 1 week before it was announced. The first mailing was announced in the press. It was around October the 1st, 2001, a couple of weeks after the 9/11 events. And what happened was I had read the media because I saw, you know, that's my Harvard degree is in media persuasion technologies research in the area of health education, healthy human development. Well, these guys use the same technologies to indoctrinate us and through propaganda enslave us into false conceptions, misperceptions. And I was reading the media in terms of the anthrax fright in the wake of 9/11 catastrophe, and I saw the unfolding because I knew a lot about Cipro, I knew a lot about anthrax, and I knew that this was this whole anthrax fright and Cipro sales scam was a corporate manipulation. So I literally went to the FBI 1 week before the first mailing. I gave, in fact, the agents in northern Idaho near Coeur d'Alene area. I gave them a copy of the book Death in the Air, Globalism, Terrorism, and Toxic Warfare as evidence of my intelligence. And then I wrote up a whole special report for them that says that they're on the verge of having a major anthrax fright and scam unfold in the United States. Well, 1 week later, the anthrax mailings were announced. I again got in touch with them, and the FBI director, Robert Mueller, finally, I kept hounding him and got nowhere. And then finally, they came to me 6 months later and made me a suspect in the mailings itself. How do you like that for the Justice Department?
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's fairly typical, unfortunately. I had no idea that had happened to you. I'm not surprised.
You know, and typically what happens is when they find out that it's a government, it's somebody that was a government worker or somebody that was connected to the government in any way, or somebody that was in the military, they like to blame it on a solo person, all of the crimes. So they'll always say it was one crazy person. So that way nobody will look any deeper into it and think it's a larger larger organization.
Right, it's a political issue.
Like it happened with the kid who killed the judge. Jarrett Lautner. They made him a lone shooter.
And again, massive evidence suggests, and very, very strongly so, and especially even the agents that have been attacking you and I and Sherry and Barbara, you know, these guys are absolutely linked to these groups that preach war, preach hate. You know, basically, these guys are I'm not going to even get into it because I know there's better things to talk about. Go ahead. Continue, Janet. Sorry for the interruption.
Oh, well, I think that, you know, I think it's very good to talk about the people who preach hate, because you start scratching, you know, the surface of some of these people and you come up with some astounding sorts of connections. Let's go. You know, I was very what you had said about the anthrax mailings. And what you said about finding a solo, you know, person, and they'll say, oh, he was mentally disturbed. Well, that's what they did with Dr. Bruce Ivins, who they, you know, were on the verge of arresting for the anthrax mailings. Dr. Bruce Ivins had worked as a researcher at Fort Detrick. And Bruce Ivins allegedly committed suicide right before he was scheduled to be arrested. A lot of people apparently don't know. He allegedly took an overdose of Tylenol. His wife found him, and he was taken to the hospital. He began to recover, and he was scheduled for a liver transplant, and he was then pulled off life support, and that's how he died. So I bring this up because very recently the National Academies went over reviewed the research that the FBI had done to determine that Dr. Bruce Ivins was indeed the anthrax mailer, and they did not support and endorse the methodology that the FBI used, which eventuated in the pronouncement that this was Dr. Bruce Ivins. They could not support the methodology or the conclusions. So, we have a history of picking on someone, then saying he's crazy, and then, you know, he commits suicide, or maybe Jack Ruby plugs him, you know. I mean, it's the same story over and over again.
Exactly. We always say to anybody out there, if you ever hear that Len and I committed suicide, don't believe it.
Do not believe it.
Life
is so such a blessing. It's so, and today being alive as these truths are told and the revelations unfolding and the transformations and the spiritual renaissance happening, and it's all a musical love revolution that we're engaged in and at the forefront of. And what's so funny is that, again, you know, we're on the Creator's clock. We're not on our clock. You know, if you're so arrogant to think, and you're so egocentric to think that you're the end-all be-all to your life without having any sensitivity to spirituality and the way the Creator works through us, if we allow it and we have faith in the Creator to bless us and guide us, well, gee whiz, then suddenly you realize that everything is unfolding perfectly, including these Looney Tune COINTELPRO jerks that are doing their number to confuse everybody. Well, you know what? Gee whiz, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. And just like you experienced and we experienced, Janet, if once you go through the school of hard knocks, you get to the other side, and gee whiz, you can laugh at these jerks because they're literally so stupid. It's like a Manny Moe and Jack routine or a Three Stooges routine. That's what it reminds me of. And, you know, the other aspect is that, yea, though we walk through this valley of this shadowy, deathly related issue and all of these spies and espionage agents and propagandists, you know, we shall fear zero evil, because evil is very minimally energized compared to the power of love and the Creator. And so if the Creator's with you, then who can stand against you? Nobody. And so this is why it's so, such a blessing to be alive today, walking through this valley of insanity and hypocrisy and global genocide, and yet have the enlightenment, the awareness, the knowledge that can set humanity free, and being one of the people heralding it loudly and clearly as much as possible, and then witnessing so many other people who are on the same wavelength, receiving the same clear channel broadcast message of 528 love, and then decreeing it and celebrating it as we should be. And you see, that's how it's all going to resolve. It's like, you know, you throw a bowling ball down the alley, it's going to hit the pins or it's going to roll into the gutter, but eventually it's going to get to the end of the alley. That's what this is. This train, you know, this peace train, if you will, is moving. And if you're going to be a jerk out there engaged in COINTELPRO dissonance, deception, hate, and division, guess what's going to happen to you in your heart, man? This is a prophecy directly from the divine throne. You're going to have a heart failure because your heart is simply not nurtured and fertilized in order to be able to grow the seed of green love, 528, in order to literally be sustained as we move deeper and deeper into the arms of our Creator. You know, that's what we're being embraced by and directed by. And I think that that is the greatest thing. So Sherry's right. There's no way that you're going to see Horowitz and Kane, or the Hurricane, be committing suicide.
Well, you know, the way I look at it, I have people ask me all the time. They kind of start reading, you know, I meet new people, they're reading my work, and they almost inevitably look a little kind of worried, and they say, well, aren't you afraid? Like, doing the kind of work you're doing, aren't you afraid? And there's one thing I am afraid of, Len, Sherry, the one thing I am afraid of is I'm afraid of doing the wrong thing. I'm afraid of deviating from the path. And, you know, and making a moral error, right? Because I do believe that if you do the right thing, you don't have anything really to worry about.
Well, I also think it's our responsibility as journalists to report the truth. And if we know something that can help people, can help humanity in the long run, and we know something that's, you know, that they can do to protect themselves from what can come in the future or even in the very near future, we have a moral obligation to
exactly
tell.
Exactly.
And I believe that when we don't tell that to people, I believe that then that's really where, you know, how do we live with ourselves and our conscience?
You know, I want to just also interject this concept of fear. You know, I know it's in the Bible a lot that we need to fear God, and I think that it's been misunderstood and misperceived. I think that, yes, it's indeed appropriate to be concerned that you're living your life in integrity, and that means in harmony with the law, with the way that the Creator has established the musical mathematical matrix of creation, and everything that's in the universe is basically operating synchronously in harmony with that magnificent vibration. Now, the fear concept, if you read the book, I just now we're in print mode for the book of 528. It's online, folks. You can get my latest book. It's just coming out in hardcover in about 4 weeks. And online, it's the ebook, at thebookof528.com, and you'll realize that there is actually fear and dissonance to love is a natural frequency that is 741 or the F sharp in the original musical scale. But the reality is that you have to choose it. It's, again, this powerful blessing that God gave humanity, the power to choose, which is really the bind that the Creator, in a sense, not in a sense that, you know, the Creator is upset about it because he knows what's happened before we are born and knows what how it's going to resolve, but kind of like he's waiting in this incredible, somewhat of an experiment here on Earth for us, we the people, to begin to make choices consistent with our highest good, and that this opportunity that we have to choose love instead of fear. And that is really where, you know, I'm like praying a lot. I pray all the time. Sherry does too. We love prayer. We jumped into the ocean. We're broadcasting from Hawaii today, and we jumped into the ocean a couple hours ago. We try to do that routinely as a baptism, saying a prayer before we get in. And when we're in there, basically we understand water, the subject of today's discussion with Janet Phelan, is this concept that water is the divine source. It's literally part of the triune God, because in the beginning there was the Creator and the water in Genesis 1:1, and in 1:2 that Holy Spirit of the Creator hovered over the face of the water and divided the water from the water and input into that water love. 5:28. So here's a discussion about how, you know, we're now faced with global genocidalists dividing water with biological weapons to conduct massive genocide and depopulation, when we could be infusing it with the love vibrations to uplift humanity's hearts and celebrate life and peace on Earth, you know, on Earth as it is in heaven, in a way that really makes complete sense and does justice to the choices that we have available to us, instead of conducting war and fear and division. We can conduct collaboration and peace and joy and prosperity and permacultural sustainability in all ways, and recreate civilization to be a reflection of that divine perfection. That is what really the opportunity is, and we celebrate and we pray for. And the greatest challenge that personally I have is to constantly be in faith, not fear. Janet, go ahead.
Well, you know, fear is a very isolating experience, and love extends beyond yourself, okay? So when people are afraid, they're afraid for themselves, you know, like, what's going to happen to me if I do that? And when somebody is operating off of love, it extends beyond the person. I mean, that's the very nature of love, is that it, you know, it extends outward. And so the theme in America has always been individualism. It's always been, you know, it's a me society. And I believe very strongly that the culture has gone from just simply being individualistic to being narcissistic. And people are out for what they can get for themselves, which, you know, which is not how people operating out of love view things. There may be some sacrifices involved when you love, okay? There may, you have to give up some things. You may have to, you know, get over yourself, right?
It's like giving your life over to a greater purpose and the Creator in service to humanity. Again, what people look for when they think about what's the meaning of life, it has everything to do with social service, of contributing to some significant other in a way that uplifts and loves and cares and shares. And that's the fabric that binds humanity together as a blessed people. And so if we can grasp that, it really fills our life with a lot of love, and that radiates and that touches other hearts. And, you know, I've got this also, this theory recently. I just published it on our newsletter. It went out last week. And for those who haven't gotten our newsletters, please go online to healthyworldnewsletter.com and sign up. Healthyworldnewsletter.com. Sherry Kane and I often contribute articles. Janet, you're welcome to
actually, they
to
sign
join
up at healthyworldmessage.com.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Healthyworldmessage.com.
They sign up, and archives are at Healthy World Newsletter.
Oh, yeah, you can get the archives. And there's also sign-up forms at the healthyworldstore.com.
And Healthy World Affiliates, there's also
healthyworldaffiliates.com. So just sign up and you'll get the newsletters. And I wrote an article the other day and sent it out about the demonic Caucilians. Instead of Caucasians, we've got Caucilians. And Sherry helped with that, and with the concept was evolved from Sherry Kane's really thoughtful analysis of these Looney Tune COINTELPRO operatives that, you know, really, it's so funny, man. You know, you can take their worst blows and flip it into something that's not only humorous, but also educational and enlightening. And that's, again, an inspiration of the creator. And it's kind of like the same philosophy of feng shui. You know, you can take their negative energy and then just flip it, so that they are repulsed, and that ultimately, you know, you are victorious. And that's such a wonderful blessing to have in life, that literally you can walk through this craziness. Everybody that has any sense can look around and understand what's happening to people is insane. And people, the world has gone mad. But again, within that madness, there are lights of love that shine. And that with this understanding, it really, really helps to laugh instead of cry about what's going on.
You know, we've just got a few minutes left, and I'd sure like to make a few more points about these bioweapons, if I could.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Basically, the international treaty that governs all of this, which I'd mentioned earlier, is the Biological Weapons Convention. And the Biological Weapons Convention meets every five.
That's in Geneva, right?
It meets every 5 years. 5 years only in Geneva, Switzerland, and it's actually meeting in December of this year. And I went ahead and applied for press credentials to attend the meeting. Curiously, I applied about a month ago. I haven't heard back yet, but I'm going to start, you know, getting a little more assertive about that. Well, since the United States has violated the Biological Weapons Convention on paper, at least, in that that caveat I read earlier, where you know, the prohibitions don't apply to the United States, I figured it was probably pretty important that the BWC people know this. And I started looking a little deeper into biological weapons labs in the United States, and I found that the Center for Disease Control, which is pledged with registering.
Can I say one thing, Janet? You mean the Center for Disease, you mean the Center for Disease Creation?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Really, I mean, they've it's beginning to look that way. Well, that they're pledged with registering the most dangerous of these labs. They're level 1 through 4s, and the 4s handle the nastiest germs of all. And the BSL 4s, the Biosafety Lab 4s, have to register with the Center for Disease Control. Well, I had some very interesting conversations with Lori Bain and Von Robuck, both of whom work rather high up at the CDC, and they're sticking to their story that there's only 6 of these labs in the United States. Well, I have found more. Other organizations like the Federation for American Scientists, they have found more than these 6, maybe twice as many, maybe 3 times as many. Well, it looks like some of these labs are actually on military bases. Now, I had the good fortune several years ago to actually go on to Sierra Army Depot, which is right above Reno. And I was traveling across country with a truck driver, and he had a load to drop at Sierra Army Depot, and I went with him, and I was sort of in the, you know, the lobby area, more or less, you know, and he went deep inside, and because he had a security clearance. And when he came out, he said, you know, so they used to have nukes here. He says, they don't have nukes anymore. They just have big vats of liquid. And that stuck in my head. So when I had this interview with Lori Bain and Von Robeck at the CDC, I asked them, what are they doing at Sierra Army Depot with all these vats of liquid? They didn't want to answer. They didn't want to answer. So I started looking more at different Army depots that have biological weapons facilities. Facilities, some sort of connection with biological weapons. And I came out with a list of about 15. So if they are stockpiling these weapons at Herlong, that's Sierra Army Depot, I have a list, you know, many, many more. The most recent article to come out was entitled Concerns Continue to Mount on U.S. Bioweapons Issues. You can find that on Activist Post. And a bunch of other websites as well. I list them there. There's a whole bunch of them. Well, if they're stockpiling the weapons there, if they're making them in these secret BSL labs that the CDC doesn't want to mention, even though you can find them out online, the very facilities themselves are saying, yeah, we've got a BSL-4 here, and the CDC is going, don't say that, you know. So they've got far more labs than they'll cop to. They appear to be stockpiling these on military bases. And then we have, you know, laws which the international laws with the which the United States is flagrantly violating. And then we have the Department of Justice and the Secretary of State not wanting to deal with the violations. So what we have here, if you start connecting the dots, is a very dangerous picture emerging. So I want, you know, I'm trying to alert people that the BWC is taking place this December, and that I am trying to get my credentials to go, and that I would like people, you know, to start telling their friends and neighbors about this. You can visit my website, which is janetphelan.com. I'll be posting updates on the BWC issue there, and I just think it's incredibly important that we start realizing, you know, what the real agenda is here.
So let me ask you, Janet, now these biological weapons that are being stockpiled, and you've gotten, you know, some confirmation that they're liquid based. And that's just some of them. There's other types of biological weapons as well. So they're using them for what? Vaccinations, intoxication, putting them into the water, letting them out into the air.
Into the air. You know, we don't know. I mean, I've been looking mostly at water. I believe there are other delivery systems that we have to worry about. You know, why we have double line water systems that are cross-connected by remote control valves. I mean, I've gotten that system pretty much, you know, delineated. I've gotten the blueprints, I've gotten the evidence, and nobody who works in water can explain to me why the system is set up that way. Water is a possible delivery system. We may have others. But we do have an emerging biological weapons agenda that does not abide by international law.
Well, they just definitely don't go by any law. This is Nazi Germany, folks. I mean, this is definitely we got another email from someone last week that talked about how Delta Airlines is going to open up a new airline to the Saudis for Saudi Airlines, and they're going to have a no Jew fly policy. So no Jews are going to be allowed to fly on those planes, even though they are owned. And so, I mean, this is definitely the start of something.
The start of
something where people are really going to wake up, though. I mean, we've been on to this for a long time, and there's a lot of people out there that still don't believe that 9/11 was an inside job. We meet them on a daily basis. We tell them that, and they say, I don't even want to talk to you, and they walk away from us. So there are people out there that still are in belief of our government system. They still believe that the Constitution is all their freedom and rights are in place, and that the government would not do them any wrong.
But, you know, I think that there's an equal number now that for 9/11, I think the vast majority believe it was an inside job.
The mainstream media doesn't believe
that. Well, the mainstream propaganda system doesn't want you to think of anything but the stupidity and remain in ignorance.
So the journalists that work for mainstream media right now, many of them are what, in denial, or they just want to keep their jobs, or both?
I think somewhat both. I think for them to remain in that system, Janet, you dropped out. I dropped out. For them to, you know, Sherry dropped out of Fox News LA writing there. You know, the reason that they're actually continuing to have the parade with the emperor's got no clothes, keep marching, is because of the media and these guys that have and gals that have sold out. I think that I'll give you an example. Bill, gee whiz. You probably know him. He's a writer for the New York Times. William, what's his name? Escapes me at this point. And his first name is Bill. I called him with the anthrax stuff. At any rate, I know that he knows the truth, but he's still with the New York Times, and he keeps his mouth shut.
Does he admit that he knows the truth?
I know that he knows the truth.
How do you know?
Because, you know, we had a close enough communications and collaboration, and when I witnessed his interviews of the top anthrax expert for the military, it's a shame that his name escapes me at this point, but I'll probably remember it for the next week's show. He was very clear to ask very good questions that indicated that he knew more than he was saying on the mainstream media interview that he conducted, and that it was a BBS, public broadcasting, PBS program. And the bottom line is that I think they're doing both, Sherry. I think some Looney Tunes are still in denial, and others know, but they've sold out because they want to keep their jobs, and that is a sick and sad thing.
Well, I think also, you know, the worst news source is CNN. I mean, they completely get on my nerves with their blame of everything as either Barack Obama is a hero or Barack Obama is responsible. It's never really the issue. I mean, they're talking about a puppet here, so the brainwashing of the public to just concentrate on what Obama's doing and not looking at a larger picture. Because anybody that looks, you know, that really has studied Obama or any of the presidents, especially the last two, George Bush Jr. and Obama, you can see that these are people that are not working on their own brains. They're people that are puppets, that are Manchurian candidates, and a lot of people still believe in this whole political system of, you know, Democrat versus Republican, and not seeing it as one, you know, one mass agenda of, you know, of somebody else who's choosing, okay, well, now this is the way we want it to go, and this is a new, we're going to give it a new sales pitch and a new style for our next level of the agenda. Then we're going to go back and
William Broad. That's okay. What it is. It's like, thank God. You know, I'm like 59. I just turned 59 the other day, Janet. My memory is like going on me here. You know. Anyway, we're at the end of the hour, Janet Phelan. Why don't you give us give out your web address again? Encourage everybody to go to janetphelan.com. to get information about how you can support Janet in her quest to go to the major biological weapons convention in Geneva coming up, how you can help spread the truth about the potential for risky water systems to deliver biological weapons.
And she's an awesome poet too.
Beautiful
poetry.
Janet, is there anything else that you need to share with our listeners?
Well, I just think we're in for the ride of our lives, and I think we all just need to kind of like hang on to our hats because it's going to get more and more interesting.
Yeah, we bought a couple cowboy hats recently, you know, big hats.
Okay, sounds good to me.
All right, yep. Well, Thank you so much for joining us on the Inside Hour, Janet.
Thank you, Janet.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure to have you.
We'll definitely want you to come back again soon.
Give us a report, especially after the convention, okay?
Okay, I will do that. Thank you guys very much for having me on.
Okay,
pleasure.
Thank you.
Well, folks, we've come to another end of the Inside Hour. Thanks so much. Every week, Tuesday nights, Pacific time, we're 9 p.m. Hawaii, it's 6 p.m. And East Coast, it's midnight on a new day every Tuesday, Wednesday morning, that is, on East Coast. So join us. We cover the world's worst news and the world's best news. It's kind of a niche. You know, a lot of people like to stay in the bad news, and some just focus on the good news. We like to do both. Sherry, say goodnight to everybody.
Good night, everybody. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight, and we're looking forward to having you with us again next week.
Join the affiliate program, too.
Totally.
HealthyWorldAffiliates.com. And then, again, thank you for supporting this broadcast by buying books, tapes, DVDs, CDs, healthcare products, and equipment. Personal care to the max and the best is at HealthyWorldStore.com. Partner with us at HealthyWorldAffiliates.com. We love you.
Good night, everybody.
Blessings for the week.